Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me, as always, David Harris, my good friend and partner on this program, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. And we are delighted to have you in our listening audience today. We're broadcasting from the HPR Network on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, Texas. Also on KNNK 100.5 out of Hereford, Texas. And also on KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma. As well as on KnowTheTruthRadio.org. Now we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. And the number to call if you'd like to get in on the discussion or to ask a question, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, we want to remind you of our additional sponsors. Not only are this program being sponsored by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, but also the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, Texas, but also the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the Fourth and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. Now, our motto on this program is, and will always be, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. Again, the number to call tonight, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. For the last several weeks, we've been discussing the Holy Spirit. And this issue of the Holy Spirit is a very important issue for us to discuss because of all the misunderstandings that there are in regard to the Holy Spirit. This is a very important topic because many false doctrines can be enumerated as a result of the wrong views of the Holy Spirit. There's much division in the body of Christ and in the religious world as a result of a bad and false view of the Holy Spirit. And as we have mentioned before, when you do not have a correct view of the Holy Spirit, it opens a door for all kinds of false doctrines. We began this series by noticing some of the misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. There are some who had misconceptions about him being a person, thinking he was only an influence, but the Bible clearly tells us that the Holy Spirit is indeed a person, one of the three of the Godhead. There's also a great amount of misconceptions about how he influences man. And we've talked in a great deal about that and showed that the Spirit only influences us through, by means of, the written Word of God. And that's why the Bible says that the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. We've looked also here recently about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of misconceptions concerning the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And this is an important issue that we discussed the last couple of weeks because when people believe in a personal and literal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, most people tend to begin to wonder, what is the Spirit doing to me? We have shown from the Scriptures, and I believe we stated our case very clearly, that David and I both believe the Scriptures teach that the Holy Spirit only indwells us through the Word of God. Now, there's no question that the Holy Spirit indwells us, but it's the means by which he indwells us is the question. And we've shown very clearly that the Spirit indwells us through the Word of God. Do you know, David, there is a very fierce battle that's looming and raging relentlessly relative to the availability of modern miracles and modern revelation today. There are a lot of people who believe that they can perform miracles and that actual miracles are taking place and can perform miracles. And really, the two go hand in hand, don't they, David? When the person believes that there's modern-day miracles and modern-day revelation, if you believe one, you're going to believe the other, and that causes us a great bit of much difficulty in our world today.
Sure, in the religious world. And this goes back to what you were talking about, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The individuals who today believe that they have miraculous powers or that they are receiving revelations directly from God, separate and apart from the written word, the revelation of God, then these people say that this Holy Spirit is giving them this power. And this is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we talked about, that we spent so much time about, saying that the means of the indwelling of that Holy Spirit is the Word of God. That is the means of the indwelling. And so with these people making the claim that the Holy Spirit is literally and personally in them, and that's the reason that they have these miraculous powers, they are claiming some things that is contrary to the teaching of God. And we need to back up for just a moment here and make this one statement that we've made on many different occasions when we started studying this. Anything and everything that you know about the Holy Spirit to be true is going to come from the Word of God, or you know nothing at all about the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
And this is the reason that we always want to say, you have heard what men have had to say, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. Now, these miraculous powers that these people are talking about, and by the way, we've had a man call in here a couple of years ago who was a church, a Pentecostal preacher, and he claimed that he could speak in tongues, he claimed that he could perform miracles, and these miracles that he claims he has by the Holy Spirit, they were given for a purpose. They were given by Jesus to the apostles, who in turn gave it to others, and we'll get into that in just a moment, but they were for a purpose, and it was for the revelation of the truth and the confirmation of the truth, and all truth has been already revealed. And we know that because the Bible says so. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. All inspiration is given, the Word of God is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, all Scripture given by the inspiration of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3 says, according to His divine power, He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. And so all of this truth has been revealed, Tom, and no new revelation from God is being given, and there is none been given since John, who penned the revelation in A.D. 96. Now, this confirmation accompanied this revelation of God's perfect law of liberty, that confirmation. And Tom, the confirmation strengthens through evidence, and there's no need for any new confirmation of an old message. It's been fully confirmed in the first century. And so we need to get back now to how these apostles got this power.
You know, we might mention before we actually delve into that, the reason they needed that confirmation was that they did not have the Bible
right. In
its written form.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had someone came up to another person or a group of people saying, I am speaking the word of the Lord, I'm inspired of God, if there was no proof, or if there is no way of the people checking them out,
mm-hmm.
like there is today, where you can open the Bible and find out if a person's teaching the truth or not, they
right.
did not have that in the first century. That's why they needed to have these miracles to confirm what they said was indeed from the Word of God. And so we have the Bible today. You know, and really, we could stop the whole argument right there, but we won't.
Right.
But we know that we have the Bible today, and so we no longer need these miracles. And when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 toward the end of the chapter, we'll talk more about this maybe on another day, but just to mention it, there are a lot of people who misunderstand the miraculous. And Paul there tells us that when in the age of the miraculous, that was in the church's infancy, when you were in a childhood, but now being full grown, you've grown past that.
Mm-hmm.
We have grown past that because now we have the fully revealed Word of God and no longer need miracles. But what about these provisions for the apostolic helpers? Well, while Jesus ministered here on the earth in the flesh, he could only be in one place at any given time. And so he selected disciples and apostles to help him. And as great as the apostles were, they could only be in 13 or 14 places at one time. Therefore, the Lord provided them a core of miraculous endowed helpers. And that's where we see the idea then of this laying on of the apostles' mm-hmm. hands and the gift of the Holy Spirit being able to provide access to more people the Word of God.
Right. And like, as you mentioned just a moment ago, you know, the church was started in A.D. 33. We know this is on the day of Pentecost. It is recorded for us in Acts chapter 2 in everybody's Bible. And it would be close to 20 years before any New Testament books were actually penned or actually written. So for 20 years, they had to have the miraculous powers there and the confirmation of those powers so that people could actually see with their own eyes and have the confirmation that the word that was being preached to them was the truth. Now, they had the Old Testament scriptures. They didn't have any problem with that, but they didn't have the New Testament scriptures. And so for 20 years, it would be some 63 years before the New Testament stood completed. And so for this reason, the miracles and the confirmation had to take place, Tom.
Exactly. Now, remember, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion or if you have a question, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. So, through the laying on of the apostles' hands, miraculously endowed men could join hands with the apostles for the furtherance of their worthy and wonderful work. You know, David, you mentioned that they had the Old Testament scripture.
Right.
They didn't have the New Testament yet. But at this time, they were now under the New Testament system.
True.
And so they had to have some way of having God's revealed will. And since it had not been written fully yet, there were come in the idea of the importance of the miraculous,
right,
where people knew that what they were being taught was truly from the Word of God. Now, there are several instances in the Bible, in the book of Acts, and in the epistles, where we see the laying on of the apostles' hands for people to be able to receive the gift, the miraculous gift of the Spirit, so
mm-hmm.
they could in turn confirm the Word of God.
Right, and one of those occurrences is given to us in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 6. And Frank was here last week, and we briefly went over this, but we want to back up and go over it again because it is very, very important that we understand what is going on here. In Acts chapter 6, those days the number of the disciples multiplied. In verse number 1, it says there arose a great murmuring of the Grecian and against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Well, right there in Jerusalem, the apostles were having to take care of everything, and they needed some help. So the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, it says in verse 2. And he says, there's no reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. We need some help here. So, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually unto prayer and unto the ministry of the Word. And so the apostles, Tom, they had a purpose, they had a mission. It was right there in Jerusalem, and that is exactly, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where Jesus said it was going to start, that the church, the kingdom, was going to start in Jerusalem. Then it would go out to Judea, and from Judea it would fall out into Samaria. And we're going to see that in that order how it will fall out. So they picked out these seven men that are recorded there in verse number 5. Two of those men, one was Philip, one was Stephen. Now, in verse number 6, In verse number 6, he says, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number or company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And verse number 8 says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, that power that he had there in verse 8, Tom, was something that he didn't have before the apostles laid their hands on him. And so Stephen and Philip were both of that number there, and they were full of faith and full of power. They did great wonders. They did great miracles. And then when we get to chapter 8, we pick up Philip. And if you will tell us a little bit about Philip and him going into Samaria and why he went into Samaria, then we will get a better idea of this miraculous power that's being passed on by the apostles.
And you know, really, David, that passage there in Acts chapter 8 is very critical in us understanding that the only way that the gift of the Holy Spirit could be passed on was by the laying on of the apostles' hands.
Sure.
Now remember tonight, the number to call if you'd like to get in on the question with a question or a comment, we encourage you to call us, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, Stephen nor Philip had received the Holy Spirit baptism as the 12 had in Acts chapter 2, or that Paul had received in Acts chapter 9. But you'll notice that Philip, who was called the evangelist in Acts 21 and verse 8, enjoyed phenomenal preaching success in Samaria. Miracles and signs were done by him. Philip could and did perform miracles and signs, but he could not transmit the miraculous power to others. This was exclusively belonged to the apostles. Now, listen carefully to what the Holy Spirit, through the pen of Luke, says in Acts chapter 8, beginning verse 14. Now when the apostles that were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it had fallen upon none of them, only that they had been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Peter and John had to do something here that Philip was unable to do.
That's right. And now, if you will allow me, Tom,
sure,
let's back up to verse 6 and see what Philip did do. In verse number 6 of Acts chapter 8, he's in Samaria. The reason that he's in Samaria is because there was a great persecution against the church at Jerusalem, and all of these disciples were scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, that's how verse chapter 8 starts. Verse 6, and it says, verse 5 says, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria. He preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, how was he performing these miracles, Tom?
Well, he had the apostles laid hands on him previously in chapter 6.
And before that, he could not perform
exactly
miracles. And so they were much amazed, and for verse number 7, here's some of the things that he could do with his miraculous powers. Unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with the palsy and that were lame were healed. But there was great joy in that city. There was a great certain man by the name of Simon, which before time in that same city used sorcery, and he bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Now, they were a little bit hoodwinked there, weren't they?
Exactly, and I believe there's a lot of hoodwinking going on today.
No doubt about it. to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God, and to him they had great regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they, that would be the Samaritans, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. So these individuals were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ by the authority of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and they became Christians in Samaria.
So here we have Philip, a man who had performed many miracles. There was no doubt that this man had the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit. He taught these disciples the Word of God. They became New Testament Christians.
Mm-hmm.
When Peter and John hear about this, they decided they need to go down there. The question that I have, David, is if a person can receive the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit from another person who has the same miraculous measure of the Holy
mm-hmm.
Spirit, why did not Philip do the laying on of hands? Why did Peter and John had to come all the way down, what did you say, some 70 miles from Jerusalem up to Samaria to lay on hands when Philip was right there? Why couldn't he have done it?
Well, because he couldn't do it.
Exactly.
There was absolutely no way that he could do it. That passing on of those miraculous powers only belonged to the apostles and to the apostles only. Now, Philip could do what any evangelist today can do. He could teach them the Word of God. He could preach Jesus to them, teach them all about the kingdom of Christ, baptize them by the authority of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And when they came up out of that immersion of baptism, when they came up out of that water, then they were Christians and they were ready to serve the Lord in whatever capacity that they could. But they couldn't do anything miraculous because Philip didn't have the power to do that. And so, as you read just a moment ago, it says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem, they were busy at Jerusalem. They said, we need to stay here and tend to the word. They heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent to them Peter and John. Now that's very pointed that we get a hold of that.
Exactly. You know, especially in light of what we see in verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
It says, now when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money.
Mm-hmm.
Simon saw something there. You know, he was already, you know, back up in verse 13, Simon was amazed at the miracles that Philip performed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, down here in verse 18, seeing this, he realized, well, it can only happen by the laying on of the apostles' hands.
Right.
So he saw a distinction here between the miracles that Philip was able to perform and the passing on of the miraculous by the apostles. Here a man could clearly see the difference. You know, to me, this is a scriptural perception.
Right.
And not a personal perception.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that only through the laying on of the apostles' hands could the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit be passed on.
Right.
Now, let's just stop there and use a little logic for a moment. If indeed it's the case that only through the apostles laying on their hands the miraculous could be passed on, how long ago was that? 2,000 years ago or so?
Somewhere around there.
Right. Make it even? That means that we still have apostles today that are over 2,000 years old.
If these men that claim that they can perform miracles today, if that would be true, then the apostles would still be living today. They would have to be living because that's the only way that they could get it is through the imposition of the hands of the apostles on those men. But we know, Tom, everybody knows. Nobody lives that long.
Exactly. And not only that, we have evidence, at least from secular history, that every single one of the apostles mm-hmm. were killed, and John was the only one who died a natural death.
Of old age.
And so we've got here evidence that there are no apostles. I had a Mormon tell me one time that the Apostle John is still alive, and that's why we still have miraculous gifts. Well, that'd make him over 2,000 years old.
Sure.
That's pretty ridiculous.
Yes, it's ridiculous.
But when we're looking at this idea of the cessation of the miraculous gifts, it's important for us to realize and to emphasize again that the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit could only be passed on by the laying on of the apostles' hands.
Now, there's another thing here that I would like to bring up. You mentioned verse 18 just a moment ago. Remember, Simon was a sorcerer. Simon was a magician. He had bewitched these people for years and years and years, and he evidently was pretty good at what he did because they called him a god.
Yeah.
But when he saw Philip doing the things that he did, he knew that he was a fraud. He believed the preaching of Philip, and then he followed Philip around, helping him out in his teaching and such, and was there with him all along. Now, when we get to verse 18, after Peter and John had laid their hands on these individuals, and they had received the Holy Spirit so that they could perform the miracles, in verse number 18 it says, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hand the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. And so even Simon the sorcerer saw the difference in what Philip could do. He could perform all kinds of miracles, but he knew himself that Philip couldn't do what Peter and John could do. He said, I want the power that Peter and John have. I don't want what Philip has. I want what Peter and John have. And even he could see the difference between those who could pass it on and those who could just do the miracles.
And so much so, as we keep reading there, it says in verse 19, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought, if I had the power that the apostles had, boy, I could make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that a good reason? We were talking about this earlier, why the apostles did not lay their hands on him. There was something in the heart of Simon that was wrong.
Well, you know, as we read here, all the way through 6 and following, Philip preached the gospel. The people heard the gospel. They believed the gospel. They repented of their sins. They confessed. They were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And there were many, many of these individuals who were penitent, baptized believers. They were New Testament Christians. Not every one of them received the power of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Not every one of them were capable of carrying out the miraculous works that they needed to do in order to make this Word of God go out even further than what it was. And so this is where the apostles were very selective about to whom they laid their hands on so that they could pass this power on.
You know, that's the misconception that a lot of people have with regard to miracles in the first century.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, people believe that everybody could perform miracles. Well, we have an example right here where that's not true. But also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14, in the context of the miraculous, Paul asked the question in 1 Corinthians at chapter 12, verse 29, are all apostles? Well, the question would be, the answer to that would be,
no.
Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? The answer would be no. And so Paul pointed out to us there that not everyone had this ability to perform miracles, but only, again,
mm-hmm.
those whom the apostles laid their hands on. Well, it's about time for us to take a radio break. We'll pick up on the other side of the break. You are listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
Okay, we're back live on the radio again on the HBR network as well as knowthetruthradio.org. We're talking about and considering the lessons, the series of lessons on the Holy Spirit. Let me bring you up to speed. Speed. That's the word I'm looking for. Bring you up to speed. But first of all, before I do, we have a toll-free number, and the toll-free number is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We would encourage you to call us and to ask your questions or to make a comment if that's what you want to do. We would encourage you to do so. We'd love to hear from you. We have been talking about the laying on of the apostles' hands and passing on the miraculous powers. And we read just a moment ago in Acts chapter 8, which is a marvelous chapter that teaches many, many lessons. But among the lessons that are taught there is the lesson that only the apostles had the power to lay hands on people and to pass on this miraculous gift. Now, the miraculous gift was for a reason. The reason that the miraculous gift was given was so that people could speak and teach and preach about Jesus the Christ being the Son of God, about the kingdom of Christ that was established in Acts chapter 2. They would be given the words by the Holy Spirit because the written revelation wouldn't be fully completed until 63 years later after the establishment of the church in Acts chapter 2. For 20 years, it would be 20 years before the first revelation was written down so that they could get their hands on it and read it. And so there had to be miracles. There had to be a confirmation of these miracles so that people would understand and people would believe the gospel that was being taught by Jesus the Christ. And this was the reason for all of these miraculous powers. Now, we looked at Acts chapter 8 all the way through verses from verse 5 all the way to verse 19. Now, what we established there was that Peter and John could do something that Philip was unable to do. They could and they did transmit miraculous powers to the newly baptized Samaritans. Now, notice there, Tom, that Peter and John prayed in verse number 15. It says, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. But that wasn't enough. It took more than their prayers to transmit these powers. It required the laying on, the actual laying on of the apostles' hands. Now, this is scriptural perception, not somebody's personal perception.
Exactly.
And we need to lock on to that, scriptural perception. Very important.
Exactly. And when this was occurring, Simon of Samaria, who was formerly a sorcerer, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 18, it says, saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. That was something that he was able to perceive by looking at what took place.
Mm-hmm.
Philip did not have the ability to lay on the to pass on the gift. He taught them, he baptized them, but he did not have the ability to pass on the gift. Simon saw that, and he saw that Peter and John came all the way down, went all the way up 70 miles to lay on their hands so that people could receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So these blessed Samaritans received the Holy Spirit subsequently to the apostles. They did not receive the Holy Spirit until after the laying on of the apostles' hands, not prior to it.
Absolutely correct.
And that's very crucial, very important for us to understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think about the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit and the miracles that were performed in that day. It's very crucial for us to realize this important point again and emphasize it, that only through the laying on of the apostles' hands could the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit be passed on. Now remember, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on a question with a comment, if you disagree with us, we'd encourage you to call us. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE.
If you are an individual who thinks that you can perform a miracle or speak in tongues, we especially want you to call us. Especially do we want you to call us.
You know, they have an obligation to call us.
Sure they do, and defend their position if so. You know, we're just reading here out of the Bible. That's all we're doing. We're seeing what the Bible has to say. We would love to hear what men have had to say. And let's just put that up against what God has to say, and see who is the truthful individual here.
And if a person does claim to have the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit and is able to perform miracles, and they refuse to call in, what does that tell you about their ability and their desire to help people come to a better knowledge of the Lord?
Well, it tells me that they don't believe in what they say they believe in.
Exactly.
There's one more thing that I want to bring out about this Simon the sorcerer. We know that his mind wasn't right to begin with, because he was a sorcerer. He had bewitched them. He knew that he was bewitching them, and they called him some kind of a god, and he loved that. But then here comes Philip with his miracles, his signs, his wonders, and when Simon saw that, he believed in Jesus the Christ. He believed in the kingdom. He was baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. And there's a whole other lesson in him by him falling from grace, but we're not going to get into that right now. Well, that'll be another lesson. Perhaps we can write that one down, and maybe we'll do that one day soon. But what is spectacular about this is that Simon could recognize the difference from what Philip could do, although it says the signs and the wonders that he performed caused him to believe, and the miracles that John and Peter could do as apostles who had received the Holy Spirit baptism. Now, it never does say, it is not recorded in this book, did Simon the sorcerer ever wanted the power that Philip had? He wanted the power that the apostles had, which would actually trump the power that Philip had. It would be one step further above and the highest that you could get in the flesh that was given to them by the Holy Spirit baptism.
Yeah, and I think that's very apparent by the fact that he does not ask for the ability to perform miracles, but for the ability to pass on the miracles, as he saw that only Peter and John were able to perform. So I think that's a very key point. And, you know, another situation, David, in Acts chapter 19, we have another phenomenon of Luke's account of this very issue of the laying on of the apostles' hands and the passing on of the miraculous gift. Paul helped 12 men at Ephesus whose baptism was not valid because it was John's baptism, and it was an invalid baptism, and they were commanded to be rebaptized. Now, we could drive a pig down there and spend some time with that issue, and we may do that another time, but we do need to mention this in passing, that there, when a baptism is not valid, you have to be rebaptized. And we have a very good illustration right here. Here are some people who were baptized, but they were told that they had to be rebaptized, baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Right.
And there are a lot of people today who were baptized, but perhaps they weren't baptized for the remission of their sins.
True.
Well, if they were baptized not for the remission of their sins, then they don't have a right. Their baptism is not the scriptural.
Right.
They need to be rebaptized.
And you know, Tom, I like to say this, and this is just me. I just like to say that they need to be baptized because their first baptism wasn't true baptism at all.
That's a good point.
And so there's no rebaptism here. It's a baptism for the first time that is true, correct, scriptural, and according to the will of God.
Well, they might have been immersed.
Mm-hmm.
They might have been put under water.
They got wet.
It was not a scriptural immersion into Christ.
Very, very, very true. So this account that you brought up here in chapter 19 is another occurrence that we want to look at here. And if you'll allow me, I will read the first 8 verses of Acts chapter 19, and we would encourage everyone to take their Bibles and read along with us. As we're talking about, and let's just back up just a moment, we're talking about the apostles laying their hands upon others so that they could have a miraculous power in the first century. As you mentioned just a moment ago, Tom, Jesus Christ couldn't be everywhere all at the same time, and so he selected these 12 apostles, gave them the miraculous powers here. But there were just 13 and 14 of them when they're all put together, and they couldn't be but 13 or 14 places. So when this gospel got spread throughout Jerusalem, throughout Judah, throughout Samaria, then they passed these miraculous powers, the apostles did, passed these miraculous powers on to other people so that they could help them spread this great, great gospel message that was able to save men's souls. That's what we're talking about. So then, in chapter 19, and this would be on down the road a little piece, it says, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast, he came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples there. Now, who are the disciples?
These disciples of John.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. Now, when they heard this, believing on Jesus Christ, having faith in Jesus Christ, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, now who's Paul? He's an apostle.
Exactly.
The Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues, and they prophesied, and all of the men were about 12, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, verse number 6 and 7. When Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. Now, Tom, Paul was an apostle. Paul had the ability to pass on this miraculous power. They believed in Jesus Christ. They believed in the kingdom. They were baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. And after they became Christians, Paul, the apostle, laid his hands on them.
So what we have here then, David, is in every one of these instances in the book of Acts, there had to be personal contact between the transmitting apostles and the receiving beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
There had to be a touching, a laying on of the hands of the apostles. And the power could not be carried on through some third party or by means of some literary document or by means of prayer. It had to be by the laying on of the apostles' hands. You have heard what men have said. Listen now to what the Bible has to say. Now remember the number to call tonight. If you have a question or a comment or a disagreement, we encourage you to call. The number is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And if you're out there in the audience and you're listening and you don't call in, that tells me that you agree with every single thing we're saying. So you out there who believe that you have the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit and are able to perform miracles, if you don't call in, what you're telling us is you don't really believe you have those gifts. Call in and challenge us if you think we're wrong. You have heard what men have said. Now listen to what the Bible has to say.
Now, there's one more thing I'd like to point out before we leave this particular case in Acts chapter 19. These men were baptized into John's baptism.
Mm-hmm.
John was John preached and he prepared the way for Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ came. John's baptism was no longer valid because Jesus the Christ gave the baptism of the Great Commission. After the baptism of the Great Commission was given, John's baptism was no longer valid.
Exactly.
It was no longer scriptural, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so these men had to be baptized for the very first time into the baptism of the Great Commission that Jesus gave the apostles in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 18, when he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you all the way, even unto the end of the world." That is the baptism of the Great Commission, and that is the baptism that they received that day that made them Christians. Any other baptism will do nothing but get you wet.
Exactly. And when that occurred, after that occurred, then
mm-hmm.
the Apostle Paul laid his hands on that number of 12,
mm-hmm.
and they received the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Not previous, but after the Apostle Paul had laid their hands on.
Right.
You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to get this, because this comes exactly straight out of the Word of God. Again, you have heard what men have said. Listen, will you, to what the Bible has to say about the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit.
Anybody with just a little bit of logical sense here now can see that if you are worshiping in a place where the preacher says that I can speak in tongues and God spoke to me and here's what he told me to tell you, you see, the days of miracles are over, and we would suggest that you get out of there because it is an unscriptural organization for any man to be claiming that. Now, Tom, I do believe that one of the reasons that we have such confusion in our society and in the religious world, especially today, is because we have taken the word miracle and we've made it something different than what the Bible teaches that it is.
Exactly.
You ask somebody, you tell somebody there are no miracles. Oh, well, yes, there are miracles. Well, my daughter had a baby, and that's a miracle. No, that is not a miracle. That is nature in motion is what that is. But a miracle is something that supersedes the natural powers of this earth.
That's why they call it supernatural.
Yes.
Something out of this world comes into this world to change it,
mm-hmm.
and then goes out. You know, childbirth is a natural process.
Right.
You people talk about when somebody is in a car wreck and they run head on into a tree and they come out and say, it's a miracle that he is alive.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not a miracle. He was lucky.
Yeah.
He's lucky to be alive. And so we've got to understand, now I think that is part of the confusion,
yeah.
because people don't understand the definition of what a miracle is. Miracle is something that is supernatural that only God can perform. But childbirth, being lucky in a car wreck, even being healed, it's not miraculous. It's providential, perhaps,
yes,
but it's not miraculous. And so it's important for us to understand with regard to the passing on of the Holy Spirit in the miraculous measure. But, you know, David, we also see from looking at the accounts of the epistles
mm-hmm.
that also through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the gift also was given. For example, Paul alludes to this in Romans chapter 1. In verse 11, where he says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established." Well, surely there are people already there that can perform miracles.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul said, "I need to go there so that I can lay hands on you, so that you may be established." Evidently, they didn't have everything they needed yet, and
right.
so they needed more. And so Paul said, "Let me come down there, and I'll lay hands on those whom." Or I deem worthy, and then you might have the miraculous measure.
Yeah, it's interesting to note that from where he was when he wrote this Roman letter, he could not transmit that power to Rome. He says, he writes to Rome and to the church at Rome there, and he said, I want to come see you, and I want to give you this power, but I can't transmit it from over here in Asia where I'm writing this letter.
You mean he couldn't... sell some napkin on the TV set or sell some bottle of oil and do it?
No. It was an absolute impossibility. Paul knew it, and that's the reason he wrote what he said.
Exactly.
And by the way, he wrote what he said because he is inspired of the Holy Spirit. And so this is truth from Paul. It is truth from the Holy Spirit because it's revealed to us in the Bible. And so this transmitted power... couldn't happen. It couldn't happen through a third party. You know, Timothy was his son in the faith who had this miraculous power, too. He couldn't send Timothy. He couldn't send anybody. It didn't make any difference. It could not be transmitted even by the epistle that he wrote.
And, you know, and that's important for us to think about this, Paul going down there and doing this, because, you know, in Acts chapter 10, chapter 2 and verse 10 reveals that sojourners from Rome were present on the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
There were
mm-hmm.
people who were Christians there. Paul also knew many at Rome and gave personal salutation to them. He may have also conferred upon them this power when they were with him in other places. But they had to have the laying on of the apostles' hands for this to occur.
Right. And in Romans chapter 12, in verse 6, 7, and 8, he also, it is recorded here, revealed to us through God's Word, he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on his teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So there were some Christians in Rome that already had these powers. There were just not enough of them to go around, Tom.
You know, and anyone did not possess all the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul said, you need more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm coming down to lay my hands upon certain individuals so that he says there back in verse 11, that ye may be established.
Right.
You know, that kind of lends our thinking into the reason there were miracles in the first place. They did not have the written word of God in its fully written form yet.
Mm-hmm.
They needed these miracles so they would have what they needed in their infancy. You know, Dad and Mom went with Carol and I on a vacation this past week, and my dad and I were talking about an issue like this, and he likened the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit in the first century to a tugboat. You know, when the boat's pulling out of the waters, it has a hard time getting out there. So these tugboats are out there helping the boat get to where it needs to be. The miraculous gifts of the first century were like those tugboats. They were helping the church to get where it needed to be because there was not that written word of God yet. And so they needed it. Today, again, we don't need the miracles because we have the fully revealed will of God and no longer need the miracles of the first century.
Well, that's a great illustration and one that ought to be taken to heart by all of us and remembered by all of us. The individuals today who are claiming that they have these miraculous powers they have the same mentality as did Simon the Sorcerer before he became a Christian. The problem is that these individuals think that they're Christians, even though they probably have not been obedient to the gospel plan of salvation. If they have been obedient to the gospel plan of salvation, they have neglected the rest of the word, which is just as important, that we have faith based upon the word that has been delivered to us once for all time.
Exactly. Now, David, we've got about a minute and a half left in our program tonight, and we could look at some other instances in the epistles where it's very clearly that the laying on the apostles' hands were needed for the passing on of the miraculous gift. I think we have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt tonight that the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit could only be passed on by the hands, the actual touching of
the apostles.
Now, as we close, David, let me just ask you with the last 30 seconds, again, why is this so important?
This is so important because if we can come to understand the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, then we will better understand God's great message for us. We will get rid of the misunderstandings. This is one of the greatest problems in religion today. It is the misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit and what His purpose is in this life, in our life. And so we encourage you to read your Bibles. We encourage you to study and see what the Word of God has to say, because as we have mentioned on many different occasions, we're going to continue in this series of studies. Everything that you know about the Holy Spirit is going to come from the Word of God revealed in your Bible, or you know nothing about the Holy Spirit at all.
Exactly.
And with that, Tom, I'm going to sign off and say, God bless America, God bless the troops, and God bless all of those who study their Bible and search for the truth. And may we see you again next week or listen to you again, and perhaps next week we'll have us a good call or two that comes in as we continue our series on the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to the HPR Network.